suffering. But before we look at session six, I wonder how sessions 1 to 5 have had an impact on us. Have we been more aware of listening to others? Or when people have asked how you are, have we responded in more detail if we felt it was right? Have we asked follow-up questions to keep conversations going? Have we made a conscious effort to look out for new people, or maybe sit or talk to people we don't usually sit with or talk with on a Sunday? Well, I hope that God has blessed and is blessing this current series of teaching in our fellowship with one another, but also in our walk with him. As mentioned today, we're focusing on suffering, and the title of the chapter in the book is Talk About Suffering. And I'm pleased as a church that we do talk about suffering. We had a significant focus on this when we looked at Job, and I'll actually be referring quite a bit back to that study of Job that we had before. There's a link also in the previous chapter, chapter 5, for caring for others, when we looked at prayer and God being a personal God and what we're focusing on today, suffering. Suffering is one of the most difficult subjects to deal with. It's difficult when we or a loved one is suffering, and it's difficult when others are suffering and they speak to us and ask questions. In Caring for Others, chapter 5, we looked at the fact that God is a personal God, that he asks us to respond to him personally, to meet with him, that he invites you and me, he calls us into a prayer relationship with him. And that's incredible, it's wonderful, it's amazing that the God who made the world, the God who gives us life, wants you and me to listen to him, to talk to him. But it can also be a point of potential challenge when we're suffering. Of course, it can be a source of hope and comfort over time. But it's not uncommon for Christians who are suffering, especially if it affects them personally or someone very close to them, a loved one, to find prayer difficult. And one of the ways we can care for others who are suffering is that maybe we pray on their behalf, and if it's appropriate, we let them know that we're praying for them. And suffering is all around us, isn't it? Last week I heard the tragic news that one of our ex-pupils had taken his own life at the age of 22. A teacher at a local school has been diagnosed with a brain tumour and has a matter of months left to live. This week most of us will have seen the desperately tragic photographs of the father and his daughter drowned on the river on the Mexico-American border, trying to find a better life for him and his family. Many of you know that my mother-in-law has been ill since last July. Last July, we were told that she had a matter of days left to live, and here we are almost 12 months later, and she's still ready to go, but she's still alive. There's a burden on my father-in-law, the day-to-day care, twice visits, no respite. For my wife Sarah, the daily visits and the care. And we're doing all we can, and don't get me wrong, we want to do all that we can. But it's placing a burden that's not just physical or time, but it's emotional and spiritual. Many of you here will have your own experiences of suffering that you may be going through at the moment or may have gone through in the past. It may be broken relationships, ill health, mental or physical, a situation at work, body image, identity. Suffering takes many forms and many degrees. How do we care for others when they're suffering? How do we talk about suffering? Well, it's helpful to remember that hardships are unique. No two forms of suffering are identical. We can't have a stock answer, even though that can be what people want or hoping for. But even though suffering, each form of suffering is unique, what is common is that it can leave us feeling desperate. And we need to be aware of the dangers as Christians as we seek to deal with our own suffering and support others who may be suffering. As Al had often mentioned in the Job series, we must not believe the lies. We need to keep hold on to the truth, especially when we're vulnerable, when we're going through suffering or seeking to support others. Things are not as they seem. Though our senses tell us we're alone, God is there. The first point when we think about caring for others and talking about suffering is to know that the Bible talks about suffering. It's important to know that the Bible talks about suffering and to suffering. God is not silent on the subject of suffering, and we saw this in Job. We know that none of us are immune from such times of testing. We know from the Bible, and Job in particular, that good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. Times of testing will come to us all, and sometimes as Christians they present even greater challenges, as not only do we have that time of testing and suffering, but it also tests our relationship with God, the very one we rely on. But as we saw as we went through Job, it also has the potential to strengthen our relationship with God, enables us to talk to others who are going through suffering. Allied quite rightly encouraged us a number of times not to believe the lies, that Job wasn't to believe the lies. And that's right, and it's so important. It's equally important that we hold on to the truths. And in testing, in suffering, the lies can pull us away from the truths about God. This can be, as we saw with Job, the result of dodgy ideas from his friends. But in God's grace, in times of suffering and testing, truths can become clearer, stronger, and a real source of hope. Testing by God's grace is able to refine our faith. In the most challenging of times, our faith is able to grow, and our sense and understanding of God can become clearer and stronger. And that's not just head knowledge. That is the lived out experience and testimony of many Christians. Of course, it doesn't take away the pain. It doesn't take away the suffering. It doesn't provide an answer, but it does give hope. That's what we saw as we went through Job, when in the midst of the most unimaginable suffering, he was still able to say in chapter 19, verse 25, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth." Job was a powerful reminder that we need to cry out to God, and we see that in the Psalms. And if you've got, if you put your church Bible back, if you can grab hold of a Bible, and if you just turn to Psalm 130, actually not Psalm 30, Psalm 130, and it's on page 635. So Psalm 130 on page 635. And it's a Psalm of David. So page 635, Psalm 130. And in verses 1 and 2, it says this: "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ear be attentive to the voice of my supplications." And in verse 5 he says, "I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope." David is able to cry out to God from the depths. Caring for Others, chapter 5, reinforced God is a personal God. He calls us into relationship. He never leaves us. And he invites us to call out to him to pray. And to pray in the good times and in the bad times. God doesn't say you can only come before me when everything is going well, and you can only come before me to praise me. No, we can come before God with our doubts, our questions, our groaning. The New Testament is clear that at times we may come before God and just not know what to say. Crying out to God, with words or without words, is an act of faith. Similar to David, who wrote Psalm 30, even though he couldn't find God, Job was aware that God knew where he was. And elsewhere in the book of Job, he said this: "Though he slay me, I hope in him. Though he slay me, I hope in him." Again and again, because he loved God, he said, "I want to meet God. I want to be right with God. I want to be reconciled to God." And David in this psalm says, "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope." The worst thing for Job was to think that he'd been cast away. And we get this also in the same sense from David in this psalm, asking God to be attentive to his cry. And isn't that true for us? We may question God, we may pour out our anguish, but actually we just want to know that God is with us, to know his love and his hope. And that's especially the case when we're suffering. In terms of Sarah's mum, we've been through the whole roller coaster of emotions and at times not knowing what to pray. And Sarah actually knows about this because Sarah at different times has come up and we've had conversations. What do we pray? Do we pray for a miracle? Do we pray for her to be taken? We don't really know. Just as an aside, I have to say, as well as the Bible being helpful, a real source of help has been songs. That song, Song in the Night, where it has all those truths, has been a song that has really stuck with me over these past 12 months. So as well as the Bible, songs have been a real source of comfort and help to me. Other people may not find them a help, but you might find songs that sing the truth, that remind us of those truths and maybe help us not to be pulled away from the lies, can be a source of comfort and help to you as well. Well, at times, like I say, we don't know what to pray. But what we do know is that it's God who gives life. So he's given her life today, and that's part of his plan and purpose. Yes, in many ways, it would be right for her to be in heaven now, free from pain and the burden on herself, on Sarah's father and family. But God is choosing to give her life, and we have to trust that's part of his plan and purposes, and that does give us hope and comfort in the midst of difficult times. So as we think about suffering and caring for others, one of the key things is to know that the Bible speaks about suffering and to suffering. We saw it when we studied Job. We see it in the Psalm 130. We see it in God's people in the wilderness. We see it in Jesus when he was in the wilderness and when he faced the ultimate suffering for our sin on the cross. And we see it in the early church in the Bible who were persecuted. So the starting point in caring for others is to know that the Bible speaks about suffering in a powerful way. Therefore, as a church, we need to talk about suffering. And that was one of the great encouragements from Job, to realise that as Christians who are part of St. George's, we don't need to put on a pretense that everything is all right if it isn't. Or to think that we're being weak in our faith or somehow failing as Christians if we acknowledge and share that we're suffering, that we're questioning, that we're doubting. I hope, I'm pretty sure, that St. George's is a fellowship where we can share our suffering and be supported, not where we hide our suffering, put on a pretense and are alone. Next, we need to think about how we talk about suffering when caring for others. We saw in Job, didn't we, how not to do it with the approach of his three so-called friends. Throughout Job, his friends continued to share their unhelpful, dodgy theology. Good things happen to good people, bad things happen to bad people. They had no honesty in their dogma. It denied real experience. It denied God. They seemed to have no sympathy for Job, no love for Job, even though they could see what he was going through. They heard his cries. You may recall that towards the end of Job, it was the words of his friends that were condemned, and the words of Job, who'd questioned, who'd struggled, who'd searched, that were commended. In chapter 42, verse 7, God says to the three friends, "For you have not spoken of me what is right. My servant Job has." So we need to be careful in what we say. We need to avoid being Job's friends. And often it may be that we say nothing, that we're just there. We just stand, sit, cry alongside the person who is suffering, maybe in silent prayer. The other passage we had from our reading this morning is also helpful. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it's on page 188 of the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it's verses 3 to 7. Page 188 in the New Testament section. And in verse 3 it says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all consolation." So the reminder that our God is a merciful God, a God who consoles, an encouragement to remember the truth, not to believe the lies. Often people who are suffering want to know more about what God says to those who are suffering. As we saw in Job and seeing these verses here, first and foremost, God says to those who are suffering, "I am with you. I am with you." We see it with Jesus, how he sought out the suffering, the marginalized, the dispossessed, those who've been rejected. So God is with us in our suffering. In the book Caring for Others, in this chapter, in chapter 6, it says this, "Hardships will come. Jesus has gone before us in hardships and knows us. The love of the Father pursues us in our hardships." I'll read that again. "Hardships will come. Jesus has gone before us in hardships and knows us. The love of the Father pursues us in our hardships." Then back to 2 Corinthians chapter and verse 4. "The God of all consolation, who consoles us in all our affliction, so we may be able to console those who are in any affliction with the consolation which we ourselves are consoled by God." If we've endured suffering, if we've been through the tribulations, and at some point known God's consolation, we are equipped and better able to console others. We have a better idea of when to speak, when not to speak. We know that good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. So hopefully we avoid the wrong, hurtful, damaging theology of Job's friends. The testimony of many, many Christians is that of hardship and suffering leading to knowing God better, being closer to him. And this experience is able to help when talking to others. We're able to pray in faith. We're able to give the person who is suffering space, not to provide instant answers. We're able to give God space and time to meet with the person. We can pray for them if they feel they can't pray. We can share scripture. And again, if we ourselves have been consoled by the prayers of others and the sharing of scripture, we can do that with sensitivity and with discernment. Talk About Suffering, the Caring for Other book, encourages us to do that. But the Bible encourages us to do that. God encourages us to do that. To know that the Bible talks about suffering, it's full of it. God's people, God himself when Jesus suffered, Job. That as Christians, we can talk to God in the midst of our suffering. To know he is with us even when it feels like he isn't. To support others, to stand alongside, to pray alongside our brothers and sisters when they're suffering. To show one another the love and consolation each one of us as Christians have received from God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you know each one of us here. You know the numbers of the hair on our head. And you love us in Jesus. You know our hearts. You know the hurt, the suffering, the challenges that each one of us may be facing. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you call us to bring all of that before you. Whether it's in words, whether it's in groaning. Please, Lord, enable us to do that. And also help us as brothers and sisters to stand alongside, to show your love to those who are suffering. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's